Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods broadcasting to you today from beautiful Sun Valley, Arizona. I would invite you, before I forget, I'd invite you to come to the Baptist Church here tomorrow, the First Baptist Church on 1st and Buffalo here in Holbrook, Arizona, and I'll be talking about the mysterious stranger. Anyhow, I'd like to see you there. Today I want to talk about they all slumbered and slept. You know, several years ago, an Arizona family was on vacation and decided to drive through animal reserve, a zoo that you drive through. You know, they wanted to make sure the kids got to see all the animals and be interested in all the different things. They were driving in a red Volkswagen Bug. They stopped to look at the elephants while they're in there in the reserve. And without any warning, one of the huge elephants came over and sat on the front of their Volkswagen and caved the whole front hood and the damaged the fenders. This elephant came from a circus, which they found out later. He had been trained to sit on a big red stool, and he must have reverted back to his circus days when he saw the little red Volkswagen. Anyhow, later, after they left the zoo, they were driving in their to their next destination and were stopped and detained by a state trooper. There had been a hit-and-run accident earlier, and the guilty car was a little red Volkswagen that had taken off. Well, you can imagine the trooper's reaction when they told him that their car was damaged by an elephant sitting on it. Finally, they were cleared and continued on their way. Had they been warned, they would not have stopped by the elephants. There are a lot of people needing to be warned that Jesus is coming back and to be watching and ready, you know, because the fact so often we take chances that we don't need to take. Another family vacationed in Mexico. Grandma had always wanted to go to Mexico, and so they took her with them. Grandma somehow or other died while in Mexico, and the family didn't know how to get her back across the border. There would be too much paperwork, too much delay, and too many questions. Finally, they came up with an idea. They bought a carpet, they rolled her in it, and tied it to the top of the car. They stopped to eat at a Mexican restaurant just on the Mexico side of the border, and then they were going to go on their way home. Well, while they were eating, somebody stole the carpet off the top of the car. I've always wondered what they thought when they unrolled the carpet and saw what they got. But had the family been watching, they would have not lost Grandma. You know, Jesus told us this very interesting parable to his disciples just a little while before his death. The gist of it is we need to keep watching so that we don't get left behind. He told them what times would be like just before his coming again, and he told them to watch and be ready. Matthew 25, 1 through 13, New Living Translation says, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" Much emphasis has been placed upon the difference between the wise young girls and the foolish ones. The wise were prepared, the foolish were not. But notice, all 10 of them were asleep when the bridegroom came. It wasn't just the foolish asleep like we'd expect that they might be. All of them were asleep. When the bridegroom came, none of them were awake and watching. The Bible warns about spiritual sleepiness. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 and 7 says, "So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk." Ephesians 5, 14, "For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" Romans 13, 11, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." More urgent is used in connection with the Lord soon appearing. This was the situation with the 10 virgins. He was saying it's urgent that we wake up and we be alert. One sign we're warned to watch for is lethargy. Many scriptures say lethargy will be the condition for most people before the return of Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were heavy with sleep. Luke 9:32 said Peter and the others had fallen asleep. When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two more standing with him. In Gethsemane, Jesus asked for prayer support from his disciples for the humongous events that were about to happen to him. In spite of his plea, his friends fell asleep. Bible says their eyes were heavy. That same condition exists with Jesus' people today. We need to wake up to the times. We need to understand there's not much longer left. There's never been a time when the weather has been so violent. We are seeing signs in the skies, just like Jesus said would happen before his return. People are worried about the total eclipse that's coming on April 8th. I don't know how much that fits into prophecy, but I know that people are really speculating about what it might mean. There's never been a time when so many world leaders have predicted that the world is on the brink of destruction. There's never been a time Satan has been so open and straightforward with his warfare. Nor has there been another generation that's seen more Bible prophecy fulfilled than our generation has. We've got to understand, we can't go on much longer. The signs are there. Jesus said to watch for these things, and then he will be coming back. But still, Christians sleep on. It's almost like modern Christians have prayed, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I should wake before I die." You know, we've been warned that this will be a time of lethargy and defeat. It'll be a time of rebellion and disobedience. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, "Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction." The church is in rebellion today. Enemies have infiltrated the church. Pastors have gone woke and they're no longer preaching salvation. In fact, I've been reading a book called Beneath Sheep's Clothing by Julie Bailing, and on page 230 it says that 56% of the clergy and 67% of the laity do not believe in the resurrection. And I know it's the same with believing in the virgin birth, believing in salvation. Christians are compromising and the church is compromising. Society is compromising, turning towards Marxism and communism, and it's terrifying to see what's happening in our communities, in our schools, in our churches, what's going on. It's all saying that we're coming down to the end. It's interesting how everybody wants to blame somebody else for this mess. Aaron was an 11-year-old boy whose behavior was described by Dr. William Glasser, his psychiatrist, as horrible. In his book, Reality Therapy, Glasser said Aaron was the most obnoxious child that he'd ever met. The boy would kick and scream and run away and hide and become withdrawn, disrupt his classes, make everyone disgusted with him. Dr. Glasser said one problem with Aaron was that nobody else had seen. No one had ever told him that he was doing wrong. No one had ever set boundaries on what he could and could not do. The psychiatrist decided to try to completely, set some standards and the new plan. Aaron would have to behave and act reasonable or he would be punished. That was something that was very foreign to him. But the response was remarkable. The doctor said probably because he'd been anxious for a long time to be treated in a realistic way. Aaron became courteous, well-behaved, and his miserable grades became straight A's. For the first time in his life, Aaron began to play constructively with other children, to enjoy honest relationships with others, and to stop blaming his trouble on his mother or other people. Dr. Glasser called this reality therapy. He said one of his greatest needs was to be forced to realize he was personally responsible for what he did and that right behavior accomplishes more than wrong behavior. Well, Jesus said it was going to be a time of deception in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. Jesus warned that in the last days, counterfeit Christ would arise who would masquerade as the Messiah and claim to be the Savior of the world. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many." Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus preached his great message about profound events that would happen at the end of the age, just before his second coming. He said there would be false prophets and false Christs. Jesus also emphasized these false Christs will perform great signs and miracles and deceive many. Many Christians believe because they believe in Jesus, they are shielded from these false Christs or shielded from the deception of the last days. The fact is, counterfeit Christs aren't easy to identify. Jesus said the deceptions of these false Christs are so carefully planned and so skillfully carried out that even God's chosen would be deceived. The only time this isn't possible is when we keep our focus on the real Jesus Christ and walk daily with him. He said it would be a time of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Demonic activity is on the increase. The only other generation that has experienced this much demonic activity was when Jesus was on the earth and Satan was trying to combat him personally. Satan knows his time is short. Jesus is coming soon to take his bride. Satan is desperate to snatch as many souls as he can while he has time. The fire is burning. The signs are all around us saying the Lord is coming soon. But just like the girls in the parable, the majority of Christians ignore it and sleep on. What foolish people. People will want to borrow oil from those who are ready when Christ comes, but holiness is non-transferable. You must build that relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. Salvation is something that is personal. Pay attention. Make sure your relationship with Christ is up to date so you won't be like the five foolish bridesmaids that got locked out of the wedding celebration. The main point of this parable is the same point that Jesus made in his other parables. In the light of my return, are you ready? This story should cause us to think, am I ready for the return of the Lord? On the surface, all 10 virgins are very similar. All 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish, were invited to the party. All 10 waited for the bridegroom. All 10 had lamps, and all 10 trimmed their lamps, and all 10 fell asleep. They are very similar. The difference is one group had oil and was ready, and the other didn't. People who are associated with the church and people who attend services all look quite similar. They use Christian language, use the words of grace and thank you, God, and hallelujah, and all might pray before their meals, may read the Bible and attend church services. They look very similar on the outside. But the real difference is the oil in there or your life. Are you truly saved? Because not everyone associated with the church is ready to meet Jesus. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, in Matthew 7:21, and on that day he says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and then will I declare to them, I have never knew you, Matthew 7:23. Jesus said, there are two groups of people, those who are ready and those who are not ready. There are those who really are saved and those who haven't been saved. You might attend church, say your prayers, read your Bible, maybe even grew up in a Christian home. But the question is, are you saved? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Do you have that oil in your life? I mean, you know, we think that we're going to earn our way to heaven. There's no way to earn your way to heaven, and there's no way that coming from a Christian family is going to get you saved. And I don't want to deceive, you know, you by saying, oh, come to Jesus, he gives you health and wealth. No, I want to tell you that believing in Jesus Christ means that you know you are a sinner, a helpless, hopeless sinner heading for God's judgment because he is holy and you can never save yourself. But Jesus is that promised Savior who came 2,000 years ago to die and pay for your sins. Jesus not only died in your place, he rose again the third day, proving that he has defeated sin, death, and hell, and he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that will get us to heaven. Jesus will return soon to judge the world of sin and receive his people to himself. The message of the Bible is to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. So the question again is, are you ready for Jesus to come? Do you have oil in your life? It is so important that nothing else matters. When you stand before God, he's not going to ask you, did you speak Christian language? Or were you praying before your meals? Or the question will be, you know, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is personal. Someone else might believe Jesus for you. They cannot believe Jesus for you. Your parents cannot believe in Jesus for you. Your children cannot believe in Jesus for you. It's like eating. I can send you food, but if you don't eat it, someone else can't eat it for you to get the nutrition. I preach to you the gospel and tell you about Jesus and his love, but if you won't believe, if you won't personally receive this message, if you won't act on it, no one can pass salvation to you. You are to prepare personally. On that final day, it won't matter what home you're from or who you married or what your parents believed. Your life will stand alone. So don't say, I was born in a Christian home. I had Christian parents. Your life will stand alone. What they had will not be transferred to you. The question again, did you accept Jesus as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? Real faith in Jesus is not dead, it is living. Faith will manifest itself with works. For faith results in life change. You'll love God, you'll love His Word, you will love His church, you'll love His people, and you'll live a life of obedience to God. Your life will stand alone. So the question, do you believe in Jesus today? Believing in Jesus and accepting Him as your Savior is not something you can decide to do when Jesus returns. It'll be too late. Jesus warned that His return will come suddenly, like the days of Noah. Can you imagine when that flood swept in everyone that was away from God and would not hear the message? At the last moment, they must have screamed, "Noah, open the door, I want to get in." But it was too late. Believing in Jesus is not something you can do when you see Jesus returning. It'll be too late. It's something you need to do today. You will be ready for tomorrow by believing in Jesus today, right now. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And the only way to be ready when Jesus comes is to be ready now and to keep being ready. Always be ready. Wisdom is to be like the wise virgins. They knew the bridegroom was coming. They got ready with their flask of oil. What folly it is to know the bridegroom is coming, but not to prepare your flask of oil. Wisdom is knowing Jesus is coming and pray to God, "Lord, give me saving faith, save me from my sins." The foolish person is someone who does not know Jesus is coming, but even though, you know, he might know, even though he knows Jesus is coming to judge the world and to reward his Christians, he refuses to get ready. Don't be foolish. Get your oil now. How can I get that oil? The Bible says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Romans 10:13. How simple is that? The gospel message is simple. If you call on the name of the Lord, Jesus will save you. God's Son stepped into the world to die for your sins. He rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. He's the only one that can take away your sin and can save you. And if you call on Him, you will be saved if you repent. Don't wait until it's too late. Do it today. Repent and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Don't put it off. It's the most important decision you will ever make, and it will pay off for now and for all eternity. Remember Matthew 25:10. It says about the five foolish virgins, and the door was shut. And it was not opened anymore to these foolish girls when the feast was taking place. It was too late. Don't let it be too late for you. Dear Jesus, I pray that you help each one that listens to this podcast to make up their mind that the most important decision they can make is to confess their sins to you, ask you to forgive them of their sins, accept you as their personal Savior, and have their life, have their name put in the book of life. I would pray, God, we will not put that off, but we'll take care of it right now because it's so very important. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you want to get a hold of me, we'll go through that again. You can Gmail me. The Gmail address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. If you do write me that way, and sometimes I get so much Gmail, I might miss it. Don't give up. Try again. Or you can call me. My phone number is 623-845-2741. Or that will also receive a text that I will try to answer if you text me. Or finally, you can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. I don't know how I got that one mixed up. God bless you. I'll talk to you next time. And if you can come to church tomorrow, you'd be very welcome, and I would enjoy seeing you.